it's time for episode 27, the Linktastic special of the Back to Front Show with me, Keir, and hopefully some boy racers are joining you this week, Kieran.
Morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm very, very well. It feels like an age since we spoke.
Indeed.
It's been a long time. It's a long time. How's life in Wales? Are the boy racers there? I haven't heard any...
It's very grey today. There's been some bean cans going up and down the road, yeah.
Bean cans?
Well, you know, cherry bombs, whatever they call those.
What?
Silly exhausts they put on the back of a Vauxhall Nova.
Vauxhall Nova SRI, fantastic car.
Yeah.
My dad had a few of those.
I was always a 306 turbo diesel man, but you know.
Were you?
Yeah.
What colour?
Grey.
Yeah.
Great. With an orange thing on the back, like an orange stripey thing.
A go faster stripe.
But you see, it was original. I wasn't adding to it.
Oh, you actually...
Didn't have a body kit or anything.
It was shop bought with an orange stripe.
Yes, it was.
Interesting.
New to me.
Yeah, and what...
Age 17.
You had a turbo diesel at age 17 and were careering around the back streets of...
The lanes of well
Over the infamous... levels.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mendips.
Are they not the levels?
No, we've been here. The Mendips are hills.
Right.
And the levels are sort of flat moorland.
Moorland?
But flood.
Hmm. Perhaps we have to do...
The Isle of Avalon.
You've lost me now.
Anyway, on with the show.
On with the show. I'm a bit worried, actually. I'm not sure whether we have to... I have to code up the explicit rating for this show.
Why?
Well, your first link.
My first link's excellent. Should we go straight into it?
Oh, you want to go first? Go on then.
Yeah, go on then. So this is the USB condom.
Oh, God.
What?
I just...
Perfectly valid subject matter. You know, you need to talk about these things out in the open. It's important to protect yourself.
It is important to
and
protect
others.
And others. Against what?
Against dodgy little sneaky leaky data things. So right. This is... my links are a bit paranoid this week.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning towards a sort of conspiracy theory end of the market with this.
There's a lot of that about, though.
There is a lot of that about at the minute. But that aside, this is... I don't know if you know about this. There's been a lot... Well, not a lot of stuff in the press. There's been a bunch of stuff in the press about, you know, USB charging points and borrowing people's laptops to charge your phone, or saying, excuse me, has anyone got a charger? Or, you know, can you... You know, whatever. Just ways in which to charge your mobile via USB. But... What the problem with that is that there are software that can sneak information off your phone.
Ooh.
Because the USB cable transports both power and data.
Interesting.
Okay. And there is an option. You can go out to the Apple Store or wherever and buy a charge-only cable.
How much are they? Like £30 or something?
They're ridiculous. I mean, not as in ridiculous in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, all cables seem to be a ridiculous price these days.
Oh, no, Kieran, there is one for $8.99 on Amazon.com.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous for a cable. But anyway...
True.
That aside...
Oh, you can get one for $24.99.
The one I bought was £15, but that was off the shelf, right?
Shocking.
So, you can get charge-only cables, which is perfectly fine, but then you've got to look in, you know, you've got to know what you're using or whatever. Whereas these little things, this is a Kickstarter project.
Of course.
It's not a Kickstarter project. That's bad, isn't it? It's a crowdfunding project on crowdsupply.com. I used Kickstarter as a brand name for, it's like saying Hoover when actually you mean vacuum cleaner.
Coming from you, that's just...
I know, it's disgraceful, yeah. I'm sorry about that. So anyway, this is the, it's basically a USB condom. So instead of carrying around with you a special cable just for charging your devices, this is a little device that you can keep in your pocket or whatever, and it's basically a sheath that goes on one end of your USB cable and goes into the laptop, and it converts it to only a charge cable.
Can you only use it once, though?
No, it's multi-use, Keir.
This is...
Reuse.
Blimey.
Rinse and go. so it's... It's so
don't try that at home, folks.
And they're pretty cheap. They're £10 for singles,
right?
Or if you want to go, you know, if you think you're going to use a lot of them, they're £100. Sorry, they're £100 for $499.
So what, you can use two at once?
Yeah.
Wow.
Use more than one at a time. So anyway, that is on but the actual site for the campaign is on crowdsupply.com.
They're kind of all on show, aren't they? I mean, it's not the sort of thing.
Well, I think that's to show you what the what it'll look, you know, what technology is behind it. Just as a really simple printed circuit board with a, you know, male and female USB connector on it, but I think they will be encased when they're shipped.
Right. Okay.
So it'll be like a memory stick, basically.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So that's the first thing.
Mm.
Am I going straight on, or are we going to do one each?
So should we pause and discuss, or should we just... No, I'll go. I'll go.
You go.
Okay. So in the classic Back to Front Show fashion of discussing, well, doing the show before actually hitting record, we started to discuss my first thing, and then it was like, no, we should discuss that on the show, and then carried on discussing it. I said, no, we should discuss that on the show. So let's discuss it on the show.
Yeah, let's do that.
This is by Mr. John Yongfook.
Yes.
And I'm not sure where I found this. Oh, it's on bootstrappers.io, which is
I saw him tweet it, to be honest.
Oh, you follow him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good.
In a big way. Big Fook fan.
A big Fook fan.
Yeah.
You can send him one of your USB condoms.
Yeah, will do.
And I first saw John, you know, like we're friends, work a few years ago. He did something, it was kind of like a buffer app, but years ago, and it allowed you to measure links through Twitter and so on and so forth and popularity.
He's done a lot.
He's a clever guy.
Sweetcron was my first introduction to
which him. Was kind of a PHP live streaming. It collated all the data from Flickr and Twitter.
Yeah, it was a bit like WordPress but for live streaming, you know.
Yeah,
so
it's very cool.
Everything together. It was really cool, yeah.
But
he's done a lot of things. I think he's had a few exits, I don't know.
Yeah. But this is his blog post that he's written, which is I guess a write-up of a talk that he's also given a few times.
Yes.
Called 1 Year as a Digital Nomad, How to Build a Business by the Beach. And so you think, great link bait title. I couldn't have written a better one myself. But actually, it's not... well, it partly is, I suppose, but it's actually a fascinating read.
Well, it's similar to Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week in that respect.
Minus the multivitamins, yeah.
Yes. But, you know, it actually, I think this, you know, no offense to Mr. Ferriss, but this actually almost delivers more in terms of, you know, he is actually living that lifestyle. Obviously, Tim's living that lifestyle as well, that he pushes. But I think Tim's is harder to achieve.
Yes, if you've not read the 4-Hour Work Week, it is fascinating, and I think everyone can take something from it. But
yeah, I think it's definitely worth reading.
It's quite an extreme change of lifestyle if you want to become sort of the digital nomad. But John, Mr. Yongfook,
yes, back to Mr. Yongfook.
Basically, he's lived on a beach for the last year, and he talks through this about the motivation for it. His lease was coming up on his home in Singapore. He looked at the rent he was paying. He looked at his income, and he thought, I could go and live in hotels and in apartments for almost less money. And he talks about how using his app, his software as a service app, to fund it, how he's sort of taken a step back, realized that he could do this with less money than he actually needed in Singapore, so he could start with a lower sort of finance threshold and then build up his business over time. And he talks a lot about the tactics of how he's done that. He talks a lot about food in this post as well. It's like this guy's a foodie.
Yeah.
So he's taken in Kuala Lumpur, Phuket, Penang, Bangkok, all these places, and he flies there. He uses, you know, hotels and apartments, and he has a bag of stuff and he goes around, but he's building Beatrix app at the same time, which is funding it. And that he talks about the growth. And he says here, after 5 months, his business, the Beatrix app, was earning enough monthly profit for him to travel indefinitely, which is incredible. Yep. And you get to the end of it and think, wow, okay, very, very cool. But the one thing that you said to me that struck out was really, Yeah, but you know, you can't do that in our country, in Europe.
And I think didn't say it like that to clarify.
No, but it's for effect, Kieran. Is it for effect? So you can, you know. Oh. Honestly.
What I said was, for the listeners, without Keir's influence, was that I felt that it's only made possible by location. So in Northern Europe, I think you would have a hard time doing this. Let's say you wanted to do the same thing, but you wanted to travel around Paris around France, and you just hop around Europe and live in different cities for 6 months or something. I think that would be a lot harder just because of the overhead of how expensive those cities are.
Yeah, I think he talks about $2,000 as what his requirement would be to live this lifestyle. But he also puts a disclaimer underneath. He said, it's a benchmark, not a one-size-fits-all. For a single person, and again, obviously he's not got family or other commitments in that respect.
No.
Earning this amount of money by yourself means you can have the lifestyle described above. But if you have special circumstances, and then in brackets, spouse, car payments, and a crippling foie gras habit, use your head. So one of those is true for you. It's probably the foie gras habit, isn't it?
It is the foie gras habit. But the you know, I think also, you know, he's doing most of his living in Thailand, and $2,000 US dollars a month makes you pretty wealthy in Thailand.
But I love this. He said he has zero distractions, which is obviously an upsell for his business. He can just purely focus, because for $3 a day, gets his fluff and fold in Thailand, laundry cleaned for only $3 a day.
Yeah,
he does have an interesting, I don't know what to say, he's got a shirt with a skull and crossbones on, a Batman anyways, but it is interesting. And all joking aside, he does talk as a friend of mine says, he opens the kimono on the numbers, so you can see how he's done it and where he's going and his growth projection. And he also talks, again, as an aside, but he wrote a book called Growth Hacking, that, and how that influenced it as well, and he kind of to his bottom line and things like that. So I think it's really interesting. I don't know. I mean, I certainly couldn't apply it to my lifestyle now.
No.
I need a car. I need a spouse to look after the kids. You know, I need a foie gras habit. So I wonder, actually, can you get vegetarian foie gras?
I think you could.
Made out of mushrooms or something.
I think you could do this as a couple. I think it's perfectly legitimate if you had a spouse. You know, when he says spouse, I don't think that's the limitation. You both have to have, you know, jobs you could do from anywhere.
So just to clarify, spouses aren't a limitation.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
No.
In any respect.
No.
Good. Okay.
And very definite there. But yeah, I think that, obviously, if you have children, or if you have, you know, a mortgage or those kind of things, these things all start to, you know, to tie you to a place. I think we've known that for a long time. One of my business partners from Open Indie, Aaron Crumley, you know, he was sort of location agnostic, so to speak. He was living in one place, then another place, and, you know, all over the world. And I think that it depends on the individual. It can be very, I think it can be very freeing.
Mm.
Or it can really trouble the person. Like, you know, I think it would be kind of amazing to spend a certain time of your life, you know, traveling from place to place, working for 6 months, you know, deciding whether you like it and moving on.
I agree.
But I think that equally, his situation is kind of unique to the fact that he is earning money in US dollars and he is spending it in Thailand, where the US dollar is worth far more.
For sure, yeah.
And I think if we were doing the same thing and we wanted to stay in Northern Europe, or even, you know, even the US, you would have a harder time because you're not making that, you know, your cost of living is far higher.
Yeah, you can't spend US dollars in Wales, can you?
No. I mean, they don't even like Scottish banknotes.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, it is.
Just as an aside on Scottish banknotes, I was in Scotland once and my spouse decided to withdraw some money just to see what they looked like, and then got paranoid that no one would accept them back in London, so made me swap my English banknotes with her Scottish ones. I was like, yeah, it's Grace logic. But he does talk about not just his own business, but he talks about different ways that you can achieve this through digital goods such as WordPress themes, plugins, software such as SaaS or paid mobile apps.
Yeah.
And ebooks. And he goes through it. It's a really interesting read. And yeah, a real eye-opener.
So, one of the things I would have liked to have seen is how long do you think he'd like to do that for? Because, you know, I think that people do crave, you know, it's great to do this, but I think people do crave some sort of stability and roots, so to speak, especially at a certain age.
How old do you think he is? Is he in his 20s, maybe? Or
no, he's older than me, I think.
Is he?
I think he's in his mid-30s.
He looks younger than you, mate, I tell you. He's got a better moisturising regimen, I reckon.
I think he does, yeah.
And good hair. Good hair, sir.
Yeah.
But
hasn't he got your haircut?
No. Mine's much more salt and pepper these days, Kieran.
Really?
It's because you don't get out much. You haven't.
He's got the quiff.
It's not a quiff. It's a part of mine. Anyways.
Anyway, moving on.
But yeah, check that out. I'll put the link, of course, in the show notes. It's quite a long post, but very much worth.
It's a lot of pictures, though.
A lot of pictures of food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
He did have a food porn type site, didn't he?
You put condom and the word porn in the same show, Kieran.
Oh, well, we can explicitly rate this.
I don't know how. That's going to have to. I'm going to have to re-engineer the whole site.
Oh, honestly.
I'll put some beeps in. Anyways, moving on. iPhone ATM. ATM? ATM. the iPhone ATM pin code hack, Kieran.
Yes, this is a video on the YouTubes, which incidentally just seems to wheel constantly at the moment.
It does,
as if something's loading randomly in the background. But anyway, this is a video by Mark Robber, I think his name is. Where's it gone? This is creativity, design, and science is his sort of bag, and he does videos about all sorts of things. But this particular video, I can't remember where I found it. It might have been via Mr. Howells.
A good source
of all information. And this is about an ATM pin code hack using your iPhone. And for those people not in America, ATMs are cash machines. Or in the case of his example, he uses a point of sale card reader.
Right, okay.
And this is basically about a new product that's come to market that is available in the Apple Store and available online, which is basically picks up heat signature and presents it on your iPhone. So effectively thermal imaging.
Right.
Okay, so you know, you've seen thermal imaging where someone's, you know, maybe it's a police chase and they use thermal imaging to find someone hiding in the woods or something.
In the woods, yes.
The same thing applies for this device. So you clip it to the back of your iPhone, it connects to the phone, and there's a piece of software on the phone that then allows you to see thermal imaging, so you see what's hot and what's cold. And he explains the science of it briefly, which is that when two things come into contact, they try and reach a sort of equilibrium in terms of the thermal equilibrium. So they try, so heat is transferred from your hand to the desk or to the computer as you type, because the laptop is colder than you are. And the same thing applies if you sit on a sofa, you know, the patch where you've been sitting will be warm because heat will have transferred from your body to the sofa. And then over time, the sofa tries to create a thermal equilibrium with the air, so it becomes cool again. Make sense?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yes.
So anyway, the point of this is that when you type on a keypad, you leave heat signature.
Right.
Okay, so you leave a trace. And so what this guy's showing is that you can walk up behind someone at a supermarket when they type in their PIN code. And even if they shield the PIN being typed in, you can come up after they've done that and hold your phone over it and take a picture of the thermal, with the thermal imaging, and get a picture of the numbers that have been, you know, touched. And the problem with this is, you know, so you might think, okay, well, that's all right. All they know is that I use 1234 as part of my code.
Right. Okay? Yeah. Yeah.
But in fact, because heat dissipates over time, they can tell which one was pressed most recently and which one was pressed least recently. So you get, they can actually, you know, with 80% accuracy, get your PIN code.
Whoa.
So this is actually more concerning than someone seeing it over your shoulder, because this device costs not very much money at all. And it can be bought on the high street, and you have been and gone. They can come up after you and do this hack. So, but what this guy suggests is a really simple solution to this, which is, instead of shielding your PIN when you type it in, is if you just put your hand over a bunch of other keys on the keypad, and while you're typing, they can't tell which keys have been used.
Ah, okay.
So let's say you put your hand over 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever, and then you use 6, 7, 8, 9 as your PIN code or whatever. They'll just see all of them lit up. They won't know. And then if you remove your hand last, then there's this big block and they can't tell which ones were typed. Anyway, so we'll link up the video in the show notes, but it's just quite an interesting thing highlighting a way to prevent what is quite an easy hack for anyone to do.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Yes, it's still... I remember seeing once... I think it was a Blue Peter back in the day when they demoed how people... how cash machines worked, and some kids wrote in and saying, but you use my number, 1234.
Yeah, 1234 is ridiculously common. Apparently in that video, it's something like 13% of the population.
Really? What do you use?
Oh, obviously, I use 4532.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that. Yeah. I noticed that. I'm always, well, if I could peer over your shoulder, but it's about, you know, above my head height. But anyways, okay, cool. So, yeah, you'll probably find that... YouTube will be wheeling, as you call it, but yeah, definitely worth a watch.
Worth a watch, yeah.
So my next one is just a quick one, really, if you're into front-end performance.
Ooh.
To go with your USB condom. And this is Improving Smashing Magazines Performance, a case study by my friend, Mr. Vitaly Friedman.
Oh, yeah.
Smashing, yeah, they turned 8. 8 years old on September 8th. Can you believe
Blimey.
It?
Blimey.
That's like, what's a lifetime in internet years, isn't it?
I'm feeling old now.
Yes, feeling old.
But anyway, it's quite a long post, this, isn't it?
But they don't do things by halves.
No, they don't.
Not by half. It's it, well, actually, I'm getting tired scrolling here. joking aside, it's if you've done any kind of front-end performance stuff, I've kind of got a little bit into it. I don't claim to know all the ins and outs, but there are a lot of quick fixes you can do to speed up your site, both in physical terms, time to first byte, that kind of stuff, as well as delaying loading and asynchronous things with JavaScript and all that kind of stuff, fonts, etc. Yeah. And what Vitaly's done here is kind of give a warts and all rundown of all the things that they've tried over the last couple of years since they did the redesign sort of 2-3 years back. Yeah. 2012. So it's a couple of years ago, and how they sort of merged different sites, different sub-sites, what they've done with mobile first. And I think it says here in mid-2013, our homepage weighed 1.4 megs and produced 90 HTTP requests.
Wow.
Which is pretty epic. Not the size. I mean, that's pretty standard, but 90 HTTP requests is pretty huge.
It's like, well, yeah.
And you know, that's probably where we are now, right? Standard sort of a few tens of HTTP requests per page. But yeah, it is long, but it's worth reading. There's a lot in there about process, workflow, CSS processes, cleaning up the back end, as it were, merging a whole bunch of different WordPress sites and things like that.
And as Harry Roberts goes on about in his talks, how important performance is for, you know, ensuring customers, you know, have a good experience and therefore convert.
Exactly. If you can get the content or to the browser quicker, more effectively, and avoid things like the flash gun style content and all those kind of things, all the better. And there's a lot of interesting stuff referencing other talks that probably have been at Smashing Comp or other conferences. Things like get the content there first, then get the enhancements downloading, and then get the leftovers, things that you can do once the page is loaded, the load events, and things like that. So it's a weighty tome, and there's no pictures of balloons or anything like that to celebrate the birthday, but it is interesting if you like. Or if you have any interest. The thing about front-end performance I've found, at least with the sort of little bit that I've looked into it, is you can make such big gains by doing such small things. And I think it's just a simple act of concatenating your files and minifying them saves, you know, kilobytes off your CSS and JavaScript, things like that. Mm-hmm. And using, you know, browser caching things and so on and so forth. It's just, it's a good read. I like this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you, you know, you've got a bit of time, check it out. It's not as funny as yours, but it's going to help you a lot more. But, yeah, so that's on Smashing Magazine, improving their performance case study. Give it, give it a few minutes of your time and, yeah, try out some of the things.
So my final one, my final link is probably something that lots of people have found before, but I've just come across it and I was doing a bit of front end for the first time in a long time recently.
Were you?
I was, yeah.
How did that go? And,
yeah, you know.
Is that why you kept calling me?
Yeah, that was 1,500 missed calls. So yeah, this is just caniuse.com.
Brilliant, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I don't know whether this is going to be news to people, but it was news to me, and I thought I'd share it. It's just a really simple way to find out whether, on a particular browser, whether you can use a feature.
No, it's a very, very, very good site. And I think they regularly update this, don't they? To sort of put it in the context, you have a front page of features, CSS, that kind of stuff. You can click on
the search box above.
With the search box above.
Can I use? And then you can just type in it.
And then you get kind of a matrix. So this one's CSS3 box sizing. And you can see that, yeah, you can use that from, it's got IE8 partial support. And it gives you the browser stats. That's what's really interesting. So it said here, IE8 for CSS3 box sizing. Partial support, browser usage globally is 3.72%, but in the UK explicitly, and it asked me this when I logged onto the page, it's 2.78%.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can make a decision about whether this is important to you.
Yeah, exactly. Again, IE11 partial support, it says 10% of the population use IE11 in the UK. So again, it useful stats to a degree.
You know, stuff like this, for example, that Opera Mini, I would never have thought that Opera Mini didn't support CSS gradients.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd think it would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. But, you know, that's just an example of the sort of thing that, you know, you're dealing with, especially if you're dealing with something that's going to be looked on, you know, going to be viewed on mobile a lot, or, you know, if you're particularly concerned, you know, produce something for local government, say, and you need to think about IE8, or even worse, IE5.5, you know, the site is incredibly useful for that kind of thing.
Just to let you know, IE5.5 for CSS3 box sizing is not supported.
No.
And there's a global 0.01% of usage.
And that is all local government.
Yeah.
That is.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, it, gosh. Yeah, that's probably true. But it says here, IE6 globally, 0.2% of the global browser usage is IE6. And I think I remember that coming out in the year 2000.
Yes.
A 14-year-old browser.
And people are still using it.
And that 0.2% must represent millions of people, right?
Oh, well, I wouldn't. Yeah, it must do, yeah.
Blimey. But, yeah, it's a great site. And, yeah, if you're into your stats, it's fantastic. But
well, and also just if you're, you know, I think even if you're not involved with the actual development of a site, but you may be interested in, you're planning a site, or you're a designer and you're looking at, and you know that the market is, you know, they were aiming at these browsers, you've got a brief from a client that says it must support this, it must support that, and you're just doing the design work, it's useful when you put a gradient in to know that's not going to work on Opera Mini or whatever. Or that, in fact, geolocation is not going to work on Opera Mini.
Wow. So it breaks it down into CSS, HTML5, JavaScript APIs, SVG, and other.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot in other.
Yeah, I think that needs a bit of a weeding out, but anyway.
Oh, look at that. WebP, what have we got? Oh, it's promises. What's a promise? It represents the eventual result of an asynchronous operation. Huh. Oh, IE's all red on that, I'm telling you.
Everything's all red.
Oh, no, not apart Chrome.
Firefox. Firefox loves it.
Can you believe Chrome is up to version 40?
Again, trying to make you feel old, Keir.
But, yes. Anyway, caniuse.com.
Caniuse.com. Very good. But, and finally. Well, not and finally.
Are you trying to hurry me along? Have you got an appointment?
No.
What's going on?
No, I'm just trying to, you know. Trying to move. Keep the pace.
Keep the pace. You're all sprightly. I don't know what's going on. So I'm a bit of a sucker, as we have discussed before, for a list of.
This is appalling. I'm cringing that you're even about to read this out.
Well, I read this and thought of you.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
This is on Inc.com. In the productivity section, life hacking section, and it's called 15 instant product. I can't actually say it. Start again, Kay. 15 instant productivity hacks you need to know. Here's a collection.
Every professional needs to know.
Okay, that's in the URL, but not actually on the page. Here's a collection of tricks you can start experimenting with and seeing results from, in brackets, immediately. Over 3,000 shares. It's got a nice graphic. But, yeah.
Great.
Here we go. In one. And I want your opinion on each.
Oh, God. Right.
Pause your email inbox and turn off your phone. Ever done that?
Yeah. Yeah, this is genius stuff.
Does that work for you? Go airplane mode. I like this one.
I don't particularly go airplane mode, but I do close my email occasionally, yeah.
Really? I'm actually joking aside just for 1 second. That closing your email really, really works.
It does.
It's quite scary how distracting just having your email client open is.
And also putting Skype on Do Not Disturb.
But people don't take any notice of that, do they?
Yeah, but they don't, but it means that it doesn't pop up on my machine.
Oh, is that why you ignore me?
Yeah.
Have you not got a rule in for me? Can you not do that?
No.
Could you not do one of those
IFTT? No, it's IFTT. You that I'm trying to get rid of.
Well, I know. Maybe there's one of those...
Anyway, yeah, moving on.
Clean your desk. Clutter on your desk leads to a clutter in the mind.
You should see my desk right now. My desk looks like something, a bomb's gone off.
A messy workspace can make you feel disorganized, unfocused, or even downright panicked.
What if you don't have a desk?
I don't know.
What if you work from the beach?
Yeah, what would Yong Fu do?
I might have to fold his towel neatly.
Yeah. It'd be a nice fluffy one from the hotel. Thick.
Mate, these are really obvious. The next one is work on next day task lists.
They're obvious, but do you do it, Kieran?
Yes, I do, actually.
Oh, that's good. So how do you
do
that?
Every night. Well, you just basically at 6 o'clock or whatever, whenever you knock off, you write a list of things to be done the next day and it gets it out of your head and it means you can relax.
But mate, you're always on. You're never off.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, always totally connected.
Establish a micro routine, number 4.
You're sure you want to advocate this post?
Break in the middle of a task and set sprints for yourself. Do you ever do that?
No.
No. Perform mindless tasks as a break. No. This is where it gets really good. This is to where the rubber hits the road, the meat of the metal.
This is black spotting, is it?
Number 8.
It's called.
Deactivate your internet connection.
Yeah.
If all else fails, pull the cable out of the wall. Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Do people read this? Really? Okay.
Why are you recommending this?
Well, there's one or two good things in here. Replace a meeting with a bulleted email. Joking aside, that is a good one.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's just... It's all so obvious, Kieran.
But do you do these things, Kieran? You've done one so far. This is why you're unproductive.
You know, work on a Sunday night just a little. That's a terrible piece of advice.
Why? On Sunday night,
because
it says...
people should be switched off.
You won't be bothered
weekend.
With phone calls or emails. Instead, you can look at the week to come with a refreshed mind and tackle a few tasks while you're at it.
Well, that means that you're basically eating into your personal time and your relaxation time, and you're thinking about work before you need to.
Get rid of your low priorities. That's why I don't talk to you on the weekend, Kieran.
Yeah, exactly.
But only serve to distract you or make you feel more pressure. That's very good.
Commit to starting but not finishing your least pleasant task.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. You're the one that brought this to the table.
Well, I just wanted your input on it. And clearly you're just poo-pooing
it. Say no. That's a good piece of advice.
Say no. Just say no. No. Just say no. Your list is long and it grows longer by the day. Sometimes the easiest way to get something off your plate is to avoid accepting it in the first place.
Yes. Easier said than done, though, if you're an employee.
14, I quite like. Optimise your commute. My commute's...
From my bedroom to my living room.
My commute's a school run. That's when I listen to all my podcasts.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
On the way back, I do engage with my child on the way. But on the way back, 20-minute walk, nice. Oh, actually, on that note, Overcast. Have you... You only use your phone for a phone now, don't you?
Yeah, my phone is a phone, Keir.
Is your watch just a watch?
My watch is just a watch, but it is a wearable.
Is it a wearable? What have you got?
Mm-hmm. I've just got a watch.
Oh. Doesn't do anything else?
No, it's a watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm, strange. But
they sound very old. My shoes are also shoes.
Really?
Yeah.
Brogues?
But they are wearable.
They are wearable?
Yes.
Does it have some kind of sensor in there to measure steps?
No.
No?
It's just shoes.
I just don't understand. If it, anyways, Overcast, great iPhone app for podcasts.
It's got, yes, my colleague Douglas was saying this.
But what's really good is that you can speed up people. So you can blank out silences, and then you can like listen to people on double time. So I can get through a podcast in an hour long in half an hour. Now, we would probably find sound very funny twice the speed. But the strange thing is you get used to it. You get used to it. And then when you put it onto one speed, 1x, the people sound really strange and slow and like this.
You see, isn't this just an example of like where I want to listen to a podcast, slow down and take a step back. And this is a feature where, you know, this is helping people cram as much in their brain as possible.
But I want the knowledge, Kieran.
Yeah, you want the knowledge, but is it all good knowledge?
Yes.
Do you need to know it all?
Yes.
Okay.
Optimize your commute. Make the most of your trip. Get Overcast, listen to podcasts at twice the speed, get twice the value. Finally, 15, go somewhere else.
Yeah, I really, really, really agree with this.
So this was one that really struck home for me. And
struck a chord.
Struck a chord. I know we've joked,
hit home.
Joked about some of the others, but yes, the change of backdrop. I have worked in an office for many years and worked out at the same place, but I would think I'd find that really hard now.
I couldn't do it. I would go crazy in a beige cubicle.
Would it be beige? That kind of, but that's kind
almost
of,
always beige. You could, or there's sometimes navy blue.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or royal blue. NHS was very royal blue. But it's that kind of covering that also doubled up as a sort of pin board with the right type of pin.
But then you got a memo saying, "Please don't use pins on the pin board."
And where would you find that memo, Kieran?
In your email.
Pinned to the pin board.
No, in your email. Yeah. But you know, stuff something like, you know, Velcro stickies are available from the stationery cupboard.
Please sign the P7 form in triplicate by your line manager.
Yes, and then take it to HR for approval.
Take it to HR for approval, where it will sit in a stack of P7 forms for glory days. Yeah, I think go somewhere else though is. And again, this is what we talked about on the last show about changing the backdrop with conferences, go and meet new people. Just it's why I've taken to not frequenting as many artisanal coffee shops now and sitting in a more more Wi-Fi generous plug orientated coffee shops.
Yes, this is you sitting in
the
chain that shall not be named.
The chain that shall not be named.
I've already emailed Maxwell at Clonus and was about this.
Really?
Yeah, you'll be in trouble.
He's too much of a celeb now. You can't talk to the guy. He's just...
There are films about him.
Films about him. He's getting science awards. He's got, like...
It's incredible.
Documentaries about his tampers. I don't know. It's all going a bit haywire. I know, and, you know, just...
In all seriousness, it's very, very cool that he's getting so much recognition.
You're off topic. I can't believe it. We're discussing life hacking here, and you're talking about Maxwell's...
Oh, I can't stand life hacking. Can we move on?
Well, that's it. 15.
Oh, we're done, are we? Good.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll bring one to the table next time.
Yeah.
Three apps.
Can it not be a life hacking article?
Really?
If it's about stand-up desks, I just...
You have a stand-up desk, don't you?
No. No, can you imagine me at a stand-up desk?
Yes.
Has anyone got a stool?
you could get one of those... well, I call them pregnancy balls, but what are they? They're those kind of squidgy big... beach ball things that you can sit on.
No, I don't think me or one of them. This isn't the Google offices, Keir.
You could get some googliness going.
No.
No.
You're suggesting I'm going to install a slide down my stairs as well?
Don't joke about slides in offices.
Why?
Well, I hear reputable companies have slides in their offices too, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, it's really... Jump the shark now.
Yeah, no, still in flight. I don't think we've quite landed, so I think it's all good. The Fonzarelli there smiling to the cameras. Anyway, so, you know, just talking about jumping the shark, just quickly.
Yes. Yes.
Obviously, it derives from the Happy Days episode, which
where he jumps a shark, on water skis.
But, I mean, Arthur Fonzarelli, the coolest guy ever in sort of 50s America, was probably in his 50s then, right?
No.
Really? How old was he meant to be?
He was... What, how's he meant to be? He's probably meant to be 20s, isn't he?
Was he?
But... because they're all meant to be in high school.
So, but when
he was meant to be a bit older.
But when you have a look at it, there's this mechanic called Fonzie who's a lot older than the kids.
This is only you're just seeing it through creepy eyes now.
Who lives in a garage, above a garage, next to the Cunninghams.
Yeah. Well, not next to them, near them.
Well, it's part of the house, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
I think he was. I think he lived above their garage. No?
Did he?
I think so. Oh, and talking of Happy Days, do you remember the cartoon?
I think you're wrong there. No.
I will send a Shopify t-shirt, one of the Mike Coos ones, to anyone who can tell me the name of the dog in the Happy Days cartoon.
What a competition that is.
You heard it here first.
Those Coos t-shirts are nice.
They are nice. Have you got one?
Of course not.
No, good. No.
I bet they're all skinny fit.
Well, no, I go from extra small to extra large.
Do they?
Mm. Yeah. I'll get you one.
Thanks.
I'll get you one. You can sleep in it. Anyways, that was
Katie,
our...
Katie will probably sleep in
it. Yes, it's true. Anyways, six choice links. Go and buy your USB condom. Don't get phone hacked. Mm-hmm. Go and live on a beach. Yep. And definitely follow...
Stay paranoid, kids.
Definitely follow all 15 of my life hacking tips from this week's episode. I shall be back with more in 2 weeks' time. But as always, just to wrap up, thank you for listening. And we shall be back with a conversational show next week. Have we any ideas what we're talking about next week, Kieran?
No, I'm sure you'll tell me.
Well, I do ask for input and you just show up and say, oh, I've not read anything.
It's not like I'm phoning it in.
You do.
Technically, I'm Skyping it in.
No, we are in the same room opposite each other. It's just a conversation. Just sat around chatting.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you have any feedback or you would like to leave us a review on iTunes, feel free.
Oh, God.
And you can follow Kieran on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
He'll pick you up on his phone.
Yeah.
Carrier pigeons welcome, Kieran. Is that a form of communication you accept?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you could just ring me. Just ring me.
You'd never pick up. Red button, no. Red button all the way.
I normally red button you.
Ugh. So kind, so kind. But anyways, that was episode 27, our Linktastic Around the Web show. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon. Cheers.
Cheers.